In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 62, The Laity. We have a picture of Christ, the Good Shepherd, surrounded by a flock of sheep. And we see sheep outside the gate that Christ is raising up his hand, I don't know, in blessing them. But we see lightning bolts striking down, and so the sheep outside the corral where our Lord is standing are in danger of being struck, apparently, by lightning. We see in the background behind Christ the Catholic Church. Okay, and the caption reads, I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep, and other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Pagans are sheep of Christ that have not yet heard his voice. They must also be brought into the church. Heretics are sheep that have left the fold of Christ. They must return to the church if they would hear the voice of Christ, the Good Shepherd, who lovingly calls them to his true church. Okay. First question, who are the laity of the church? The laity of the church are all its members who do not belong to the clerical or to the religious state. All members of the church, whether clerical or lay, are termed the faithful. After baptism, we join the ranks. The laity must remember that they are part of the church. They must understand that when anyone speaks of the church, they are included as we include the heart and mind of a man with his soul when we speak of him. The church is you and I. The clerical state includes all priests and aspirants to the priesthood who have received tonsure, students of seminaries or aspirants to the priesthood. Tonsure is the rite by which a layman is initiated into the clerical state. The bishop or any delegated prelate cuts the candidate's hair in some prescribed form and invests him with a surplice. The religious state includes those who are members of religious orders or congregations, bound by either temporary or perpetual vows of poverty, chastity, obedience. Aspirants, postulants and novices are preparing to embrace the religious state. Do Catholic sinners continue to belong to the church? Yes, unless one cuts himself off by heresy, apostasy, or excommunication, a Catholic sinner continues to be a member of the church. Those in mortal sin are called dead members, for their soul dead in sin. Indeed, the church is the church of saints, but the greatest part of its activities has to be for sinners. Perhaps we may say, without fear of contradiction, that most of the members of the church are sinners. We all fall away from the ideal at some time or other, then the church calls to bring us back. Until we attain heavenly bliss, there will always be the darkness of sin, the pain of evil. Christ himself spoke of bad fish with the good, of cockle among the wheat. Of the sheep in the fold, one wanders out, but our Lord longs for the wanderer. Let us help bring him back. God gave Catholics the grace of their holy religion, but he also gave them their free will, and they are free to choose whether to act in full accordance with his commands and counsels, or whether to practice only a part, or whether to violate those commands. There is a wide gap between belief and practice. It is that gap that divides Catholics into practical and nominal Catholics. Must the faithful think and act alike? No. The faithful must believe in all the doctrines entrusted to Christ but to his church, and act in accordance with those doctrines. But these pertain to the field of faith and morals, not to other matters. Therefore, there is no question about thinking and acting alike. Among the 340 million Catholics in the world, each Catholic is an individual. He must believe that Jesus Christ is God, but with one of his Catholic friends he may differ concerning the best political party to join. He must not deny his church, but he may argue with the parish priest about who should be one's favorite saints. I think the parish priest would be a fool to argue about who should be their favorite saints. There's no accounting for taste. The church is for no particular class, whether millionaires or laborers, scientists or children. The church is classless, and for all classes, for all men. These cannot all act and think in one uniform pattern. The different classes among Catholics arise from causes apart from the church, such as racial, cultural, and social causes. But anywhere and everywhere, one can be a good Catholic. Good Catholics believe alike in this, that they are members of a divinely established church, the well-being of which it is their duty to further by striving to attain the perfection indicated by Christ. The church presents us with the ideal and provides the means to reach that ideal, inviting and urging us, feeding and shepherding the flock. But the church does not guarantee salvation for all the faithful, because among its doctrines, the freedom of the will is as fundamental as the divine authority of the church. How can the laity help the church in the care of souls? The laity can help the church in the care of souls by leading lives that will reflect credit on the church, and by cooperating with their bishops and priests, especially through Catholic Action. Even so, let your light shine before men in order that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. A good Catholic makes serious efforts to save his soul. He keeps the commandments of God and of the Church. He receives the sacraments. He does all things prescribed by Christ through the Church. Therefore, he must know his religion. He must not be ignorant of Christian doctrine. For by it he learns how to save his soul. By it he learns what to believe and what to do. A good Catholic obeys his ecclesiastical superiors in spiritual matters and gives them due respect. He sees in his lawful superiors Christ's representatives on earth. He is loyal to the Church in word and deed. He does not criticize it or make derogatory remarks about it. Even if his priests may have faults, he tries his best not to bring them and the church into contempt. If the faults are public and grievous, he may bring the matter to the attention of lawful authority, but always with great prudence. According to his means, he contributes towards the support of the church. This is a serious obligation which too many Catholics neglect. The church needs support as much as the civil government. It cannot subsist on error. Religion makes no progress where Catholics are so indifferent as to begrudge their material support. A good Catholic has before him a wide scope of activity. If he wishes to participate in the work of the Church, there are no barriers between man and God. Should a Catholic be moved by a spirit of reform, he need not cut himself off from the Church by founding a new sect. He busies himself within the fold of the Church, taking active steps to attain the reform he desires. For always there is need of reform in practices and current conditions, though never in fundamental doctrine. Okay, that concludes the reading there. I don't know, we spoke about the hierarchy before, the Pope, the bishops, the priest, basically the clergy, and now we've, added to that the religious groups, the congregations, and those who have entered orders of poverty, chastity, and obedience. They form a different class in the church, and then we have now the laity, and that is really open to everyone in the church. There's the church teaching and the church believing, or the church obedient, and this is the laity. One of my favorite, recurring sermons tends to focus on the idea that we are all different. There was the comment, you know, does that mean Catholics who all believe the same thing, all act in the same way, all think in the same way? And I think I've made it very clear in many of my sermons that God has created us all different, and that we need not try to destroy these differences, as I saw so often a few years ago with the unisex idea that we all can dress the same, wear the same hairstyles, and there is this unisex idea that was pushed upon us. I see that as an evil, a denial of the differences that God has created, and so it is demonic. But now they've taken it really to the opposite extreme, and that is what I see the demonic is. They go from one end of the pendulum all the way to the other. So now it seems society is trying to emphasize and make everyone different. Everyone is unique, and we have to celebrate this uniqueness, and they push it to really an absurd conclusion that there are more than two genders, that we have an unlimited number of sexual beings with different and various sexualities that somehow God has created, or the defects that nature, if they want to be atheists and not believe in God and some kind of Darwinian evolution, that nature has begotten all these various forms of sexuality. And I would say they are defective, because if you follow each of these variations to their logical conclusion, they are non-reproductive. They cannot continue. They should, at least by Darwinian ideology, all die out, because homosexuality cannot continue because they can't reproduce. And those with the various perversions cannot reproduce. Only male and female, in the manner that God has created, coming together as husband and wife, can bring forth life. So all these perversions are dead ends, and this is why I can say safely that these are demonic, because the devils always lead us to a dead end. There is no future there. There is no hope. There is no continuation. There is no life. And so the devils have taken us from, we're all the same, and so there is no gender. Male and female, there's no difference in them. They need to be treated equally. And again, there is no equality coming forth from the hand of God. We can look at the color of our skin, the sexual organs that we are born with. We can look at the intelligence that we are born with, the environment in which we are born, the opportunities that are given us. The amount of oxygen that we are exposed to. I'm thinking years ago that they had the incubators for the premature babies, and the most expensive hospitals had the best incubators, which were pretty well sealed, and they could give them a higher quantity of oxygen to these babies. And they found out that the children in these more expensive hospitals with the better equipment, these children were suffering from retinal burns. They were going blind because of the oxygen content in these incubators was too high. And therefore, those children born in the poorer hospitals that were put in faulty incubators, if you will, they were better off because the oxygen wasn't concentrated enough to burn the retinas in their eyes and make them blind. I'm not saying anyone had an evil intent. It was something we discovered after the fact that we were looking back upon. But God certainly did not make these hospitals equal. And just because one has more money doesn't make it a better hospital, a higher quality care. And we need to really step back from what the world is suggesting to us quite often and evaluate what we are, who we are, where we're going, why we're doing the things that we're doing, and really content ourselves, I guess, in whatever station in life God has given us. And the question isn't really what we want, but what does God want? And I think really our whole outlook to life needs to be trying to conform to God's will. And I think we do a terrible disservice to our children, constantly enforcing the idea that they get to choose what they are, what they get to be. And yes, there is an element that they have to cooperate to become what they are intended to be by God. So their will does play a part, but we should be emphasizing the fact that the children should try to find out what God wants them to be, what God wants them to do, and to seek to do God's will. And if they seek to do God's will, they will be a success in this life, but more importantly, they will be a success in eternity. And God's will is not that we are all equal, not that we are all the same. That is a very boring world, but also we must not multiply these distinctions where there are none. It is obvious that God created male and female. It's right there in the book of Genesis. In this sexuality, there's male and female. It's that simple. Beyond that, anything else is from the devil. As the scripture says, let your yes be yes and your no be no, and anything else is from the evil one. And I see the evil one is terribly influencing our society. On the one hand, he wants to get rid of yes and no and make everything indifferent. You have your truth, I can have my truth, and those people over there can have their truth, and everybody can have their own truth, and it is all the truth. And that is nonsense. There is only the truth, and either I agree with the truth or I accept falsehood, lies. So we have the devil pushing that extreme, that there is no right and wrong, that there is no truth or falsehood, that everything is a matter of indifference. And they will look at the Holy Bible and consider it mythology and rate it right along the side of Greek mythology, Roman mythology. And so it is all the same, whatever you want to believe, it makes no difference. And then on the other hand, they want the devil's try to make one religion, and you have to believe this religion, even though that religion is atheism or Darwinianism, communism. The devils are always pushing the pendulum from one side to the other. And as I'd like to point out, virtue is in the middle. We need to ask, what is God's will? We need to examine this life. What has God made? How has God made it? And God didn't make a mistake. And those homosexuals or those who have tendency to homosexuality, they were not born that way. Because logically they would have died out long ago. They are converts to this. They have bought into this ideology. For whatever reason, they have chosen this. And just because you have an inclination to sin doesn't make it right and doesn't mean that that inclination has come from God. God has given you also the grace to overcome this perversion or this unnatural tendency. A long way to go about that we are not all identical, or all Catholics need not think exactly the same, but we are bound to hold exactly the same doctrine, the same truth, and believe in Christ and all that Christ has given us through the Catholic Church. Do we have any questions, comments? we shall end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.